Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good. It's great to be back here with you to study God's Word.
Amen. And we got Steve live in the studio tonight.
Yes.
Last week he was in the mission fields of Greater Youngstown.
Yes.
He was in a tent and could barely communicate with us, but
yeah,
we managed to do the show.
Had my little satellite dish.
Yeah. That's awesome. Anyway, he's back here, so that's good. So if you were listening last week, and I know that we probably have thousands of new listeners per week, but if you were listening last week, we started talking about the account in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius and Peter. If you weren't listening last week, you can turn to Acts chapter 10 find the story of Cornelius and Peter.
It'll still be there.
Yeah, it'll still be there. It's been there since, you know, almost 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And we're going to do kind of a quick summary, but we know that Cornelius was a Roman officer. He was a centurion. He got there being a pagan Gentile. He became what the Jews used to call a God-fearer.
Right.
He knew about the God of Israel. He understood that his pagan religion was not very satisfactory in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he gave up his gods of Venus and Jupiter and all of them, and actually worshiped the God of Israel. And he was a pretty high up officer in a very important unit, the Italica regiment, the Italian regiment.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stationed at the main port on the Mediterranean. And interestingly, he was a devout and a good man, it says.
Right.
He prayed, he gave alms, he did things that we in the Judeo-Christian tradition would say are the things that God wants us to do.
Right.
I don't know if Venus and Jupiter wanted you to do that, but at least the God of Israel did.
Probably not.
Yeah. And so these people didn't really probably worship in the temple, and they probably weren't circumcised,
mm-hmm.
but they understood that this was real faith to a real God, and they prayed. And when our story starts out, you know, it says that he prayed all the time and he gave alms. And yes, not just him, but his family. So his whole family was involved in this. And then one day he's praying at 3 p.m. and an angel comes to him. A real angel comes all the way from heaven and calls him by name. Says, Cornelius. And Cornelius is a little shaken up, but the angel says, relax. He goes, I'm here to tell you that you need to go find Simon, who's called Peter, because he needs to come here to tell you some things.
Yeah.
Because your prayers and your almsgiving has come up before God. And I'm telling you, Simon Peter needs to come here to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel tells Cornelius where Peter is. He's at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. And he says, you got to send for him. So the angel goes away. Cornelius gets a couple of guys, and he's an officer, you know, so he doesn't have any trouble finding a couple of guys to do what he wants them to do. And so they set out to get Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter happens to be at this time praying on the roof of the house of Simon the Tanner.
Yeah.
And it's noontime, so he's praying, and he has this vision. Do you want to describe the vision?
Yeah. You know, it says that he was hungry and wanted to eat. And while they were making preparations, he fell into, it says, a trance. You know, the translation I have says he fell into a trance.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this vision of heaven opening and this sheet, you know, something that resembled a large sheet coming down, and it lowers to the ground by its four corners.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's seeing this vision, and in it was all the earth's four-legged creatures, reptiles, birds, everything. And he hears a voice that says, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." So Peter refutes that and says, "Well, certainly not, sir. For I have never," you know, he says, "for never have I eaten anything profane or unclean." Because we have to remember, Peter's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the dietary laws. And they would not eat anything that was unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice speaks to him again a second time and says, "What God has made clean, you are not to call profane." So this happened three times.
Mm-hmm.
Three times in this vision. And then the object was taken up into the sky. And then Peter is really, you know, he's praying about this. Mm-hmm. He's in doubt about this vision, because we have to remember, in Peter's culture, growing up as a Jewish boy,
yeah,
you know, into manhood, this would have been the norm. The dietary laws would have been the norm for him for every day.
You didn't have to be educated to know what you were allowed to eat, what you weren't allowed to eat.
Right.
Everybody knew it.
Everybody, yeah. So this was not something like, "Oh gosh, well maybe it is okay to eat that." No. They understood that there were strict dietary laws that every Jewish person observed.
Mm-hmm.
And so while Peter's having this, while he's wrestling with this vision that he just had and trying to make sense of it, Cornelius's men arrive,
mm-hmm,
and ask for Simon.
They ring the doorbell.
They ring the doorbell. they knock on the door. Do they have doorbells?
I don't think so.
They didn't text him beforehand and tell him they were coming? Post it on Facebook, "Hey, Peter, we're coming to visit you"?
No, and they didn't even have an appointment to see him. By this time, Peter's schedule was pretty booked.
So as, you know, Peter's pondering the vision, and the Spirit says to him, "There's three guys downstairs that you need to go and talk to."
And I sent them.
Yeah, and that you need to go and talk to them, and you need to go and without hesitation, get downstairs and talk to them now.
Yeah.
It's that important.
Yeah.
Now, Peter.
It's kind of an interesting thing here, because Cornelius is a Gentile. He sees this angel, and he immediately obeys what the angel tells him to do.
Yep.
Get the guys, go find Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Simon's in Joppa, which is down the coast a little bit. It's where Jonah had left from during his little voyage before he went to Nineveh. And interestingly, Peter, who's praying, sees the vision. Now, he's a covenant man. He's Jewish, circumcised, doing the law. He says, "No way, I'm not going to eat that." You know? So the Gentile says, "I'll do what you want me to do." Peter says, "No way, I'm not eating that."
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he hears, it's actually the Holy Spirit talking to him, saying,
"Right,
you can't call this unclean, because now I've made it clean."
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that this refers to just going to Cornelius's house, that now it's okay to go to the Gentile house. But as you said, the thing says slaughter and eat. Yeah, they were going to eat the Gentiles.
I don't think they were going to have Cornelius for supper.
No. So they were allowed to boil up some shrimp, and if they wanted to, they could have some bacon.
Roast Cornelius was not on the
menu. No, that was not on the menu. And so, you know, there's a problem with Peter going to Cornelius's house.
It would have made him unclean.
It would have made him unclean.
Yep.
And they weren't supposed to associate. And Peter's got some issues with this.
Major.
Yeah, major issues. And, you know, since he doesn't want to do the dietary thing, and his mind isn't thinking back to Jesus giving him the Great Commission, where he says, "You're going to go preach in all the nations."
Mm-hmm.
And Cornelius was from the nations.
Right.
He's worried about this vision. He's worried about going over there. So the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "I sent these guys."
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit about when Jesus, right before Jesus ascends into heaven, they ask him that infamous question, "Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel?"
Yeah.
And they're standing there as he ascends and he goes up in the cloud. They're standing there looking up at the sky intently.
Mm-hmm.
And what has to happen? God has to send some messengers, some angels to say, "Men of Galilee, why do you gaze up into the sky?
Yeah.
This Jesus whom just ascended, he's going to descend. You know, he's going to come back in the same way."
Yeah.
So God needs to send them an angel to say, "All right, now it's time to get on with the task at hand."
Exactly.
And you see the same thing happening here. Peter's really confounded by this vision. He's really troubled by it.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel says, "Go without hesitation. Get up. Go downstairs. there's three guys here. They were sent for you. I sent them, and you got to go talk to them now.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that this vision that he has, the sheet descends from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't just materialize there.
Right.
So he knows that this comes from heaven, that this is a serious revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to get a glimpse of the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Because here is a very, very, very important part of the old covenant, a very, very important part of the Tanakh, which is, these are the animals that you don't eat. To now we go to, hey, don't call them unclean because I've made them clean.
Mm-hmm.
You can take and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is pretty shocking to Peter, because now he's told he can eat them. You know, he doesn't quite believe that, but the distinctions about things are about to be changed, because now we have the concept of the one new man is coming.
Yeah, because...
Now, there may have been other Gentiles that are believers by this time. I mean, we don't know if Cornelius was the first, but there weren't a lot of them at this point.
Yeah.
It was a Jewish church.
Yeah, you know, one of the commentaries says that, you know, when these Gentile emissaries arrived with their account of what happened, they reported to Peter the angelic apparition. This kind of brings light to that vision that Peter had.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's to be prepared to admit Gentiles who were considered unclean, like the animals of his vision,
yeah,
into the Christian community,
mm-hmm,
into the family of believers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what did Jesus do on the cross? He reconciled all of creation,
mm-hmm, that's
everything.
Right. That's right.
Everything back to God.
That's right.
Just like, you know, if you look back into the book of Exodus, when there was the first Passover, it wasn't just human beings that were slaughtered, mm-hmm, or that were killed. The firstborn of man and beast,
yes,
alike,
uh-huh,
were slain.
Yes.
To execute, God executed judgment on the land of Egypt of man and beast,
yeah,
alike.
Even the animals.
Yeah, even the animals.
Yeah.
So what do the animals have to do with,
yeah,
man's sin?
I mean, if your pet cat was the first kitten born in that litter, it would have died that
right
night.
Same thing for a puppy.
Very
dog.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
But now, you know, something different was happening. Now there's going to be a liberty that there wasn't under the law. Because, you know, Jesus tells us in the book of John, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed.
Amen, brother.
You know, when the Son sets you free, you don't have to sit around and worry about the bacon or the shrimp or the whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are issues that are aside from that.
Right.
Those aren't issues that bring salvation.
Right.
We're now in a new covenant.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter would not have been able to hang out with the Gentiles, let alone eat with them or
exactly
pray with them.
Exactly.
So he, you know, these three guys say, these guys who come to the door, there's two guys or three guys, I can't remember. These guys who come to the door, you know, they want to invite Peter to Cornelius' home group, but he's a little bit nervous to go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now in this concept of the one new man, we're joined in Messiah. When we did the shows about the one new man, which is from Ephesians 3:14, it talks about how Jesus in his flesh broke down the wall of partition.
Yes.
So, you know, because of this, these two guys who are Gentiles are now able to come and say, hey, Simon, Peter, or whatever your name is.
Why do you have so many names?
Yeah, you got too many names, dude. Cornelius needs, you know, you need to come with us because Cornelius and his whole home group's waiting for you to show up.
Who's Cornelius?
Yeah, who's Cornelius? And the other thing is, you know, the Romans were the occupiers of the place. And Peter, who's, you know, a subject of the Romans, mm-hmm, is now being asked to go to this Roman officer's house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's another aspect of this. I mean, if you were a guy living in occupied Europe and somebody came and said, you know, that Nazi general wants to see you, I mean, you wouldn't just say, oh, yeah, great, I'll be right over.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be a little worried.
You would be a lot worried. Yeah,
about going over there.
So these guys, once they get there, these two men, they answer, you know, Peter asks them, what's the reason for your visitation or your being here? And they answer him that Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man respected by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by an angel,
mm-hmm,
and they call him a holy angel, to summon you to his house,
yeah,
and to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And so Peter says, I don't have any notes ready for the home group. Wait a minute, I'll go.
I haven't had time to put anything together.
You know, my last presentation was a couple days ago, and like 3,000 people were at it. So I gotta, yeah. No. So he invited them in and showed them hospitality.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So Peter is gracious to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
they, you know, the next day they get up. And they go down to...
Yeah, they spend the night.
They spend the night.
That, which would have been very bizarre in any circumstance like this in these days.
Two strange Gentiles staying in your house.
Yeah, and here's these unclean guys staying in the house. And, you know, Peter's kind of, I'm sure, very confused by this, as were the other, later on they're going to be called circumcised believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you got two Gentiles in the house, man. You know, what's this world coming to? We need to do this before.
There goes the neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood. No. Yeah. And it's so cool that, you know, the Holy Spirit arranges all of this. The angel comes to Cornelius. Peter's praying. Peter has the vision. He's hungry. Has the vision. Mm-hmm. Guys are at the door. They stay overnight. Okay, I'll come with you guys in the morning. I mean, this is pretty cool that all this was arranged.
And, you know, when you read this account, it really beckons the, I think, part of the division that you see in the body of Christ today, where people of different denominations who are Gentiles, mm-hmm. Think that that somehow they have a lock on or a hold on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, sure.
And that, gosh, the Spirit of God can't be moving anywhere else except here.
That's right. In our church.
In our building, in this little square inch of God's all of God's universe.
And those guys across the street, they're really messed up.
they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. But it really, you know, it speaks to my heart about how, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, and understanding that we share in the anointing of Christ, that we share in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Christ in the Jordan, that the Holy Spirit God is going to gift those whom he wills and those whom he chooses to have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Even Gentiles.
Even Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And I have no control over who God gifts, and neither do you.
That's right.
And the only thing I can be is jealous of somebody else's giftedness.
Right. We can't sit in judgment.
And that obviously is not from the Lord.
And we can't sit in judgment and say, I have the Spirit, that guy doesn't.
Right.
Or we have it over here, but they don't. And, oh, it's a break already.
Already.
Whew. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
There is a noise. There is a sound. There is a cry from the depths of our hearts, heaven come down. We'll not be silenced, can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation, called by your name. Just redeemed from the night, bathed in your glory, reflecting your light.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
Yeah.
Interestingly, one more thing I was thinking of during the break is we always think about Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. We have to keep in mind that Peter did a fair amount of preaching to Gentiles, too.
Yeah.
Here he was on his way to a Gentile house.
Yeah. He was probably one of the first people to evangelize to Gentiles.
And interestingly, the Holy Spirit himself says to Peter, you got to trust what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Don't have any doubts. Just go with these guys.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Peter saying, I'm going to go with those guys? Where are they going to take me?
Yeah.
I don't even know where we're going.
Yeah. I mean, the same guy that said, oh, Lord, I'll never let you die.
Yeah.
He's not doing any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah. But he brings a bunch of believers with him. He doesn't go by himself.
Yeah.
He says, you guys are coming to the home group with me. Why don't you read a little bit?
Okay.
Of the next part of what's going to happen.
Okay, so this is from Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 23. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. On the following day he entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, paid him homage.
Mm.
Peter, however, raised him up, saying, get up. I myself am also a human being. While he conversed with him, he went in and found many people gathered together and said to them, you know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call any person profane or unclean. And that is why I came without objection when sent for. May I ask, then, why you summon me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, at this hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was at prayer in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling robes stood before me and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your almsgiving remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you were kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to all that you have been commanded by the Lord.
Pretty good. Yeah, so it's interesting. First, these guys tell Peter, Cornelius had this vision. You're supposed to come. You go through this thing. They stay overnight. When they get there, now, I'm not sure how long it would have taken them to walk there. Maybe these guys would have told Peter some stuff about, what's going on,
mm-hmm.
about Cornelius himself, do a little background information. And it's interesting he takes some other believers with him.
Right.
So these guys are probably talking on the way going, I can't believe we're going to a Roman guy's house.
Yeah.
What are we going to do over there? I mean, I know he's got a home group, and I hope they have some refreshments, but I don't even know what we're going to do when we get there. And Peter's walking with these guys. I mean, the whole thing was pretty weird compared to what they were used to.
Yeah, it seems like they took like probably 2 days
to
get there. Probably 2 days for them to get to Peter's house and 2 days for them to get back.
And then he gets there. Cornelius is waiting for him.
They've been waiting for 2 days.
Yeah, waiting for 2 days.
When's the home group going to start, Cornelius?
That's right. The musicians were there.
Our guest speaker's not here yet.
That's right.
The worship
team was there. And they were going to study Acts chapter 10. Oh, no, wait a minute. They were Acts chapter 10.
They were actually. Yeah,
they were
living it.
They were going to study it.
They were
living it.
They were living it, yes.
So Cornelius, and imagine this, he's a Roman officer. This, Galilean Jewish fisherman comes in.
Yeah.
And Cornelius like falls down before him.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Pilate would have had a dim view of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would have been pretty weird.
You think Cornelius had a call off for work? What are you doing today, Cornelius? I'm waiting for this Jewish fisherman to come over. I got to talk with him.
Yeah, this doesn't count as a sick day. You better get to work. So, you know, he really, you know, his whole family's there. His friends are there. So obviously Cornelius has taken some time to invite people to come to hear Peter. He's excited about this. He knows this is going to be really important. The angel told him Peter has to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls down before Peter. Peter picks him up and goes, whoa, man, you know.
Dude,
hey,
get up, man.
Get up. I'm a human just like you. And, you know, Peter's probably thinking, well, this guy's falling down in front of him. Peter's thinking, you know, I denied the Lord. I did all this other stuff. I mean,
yeah.
He's bowing down to me.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't right. Yeah. You know, no. Get up, man. This is not good. You know, later on in the Revelation, you know, John falls before the angel. The angel picks him up and says, no, I'm a creature just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bow down. But this is an amazing thing. And, you know, Peter kind of says, well, you know, we're not really supposed to be here, but here we are. Because
mm-hmm.
the Lord showed me now that I can't call something unclean that he's made clean.
Yep.
Because the gospel has to be preached to everyone.
Yep.
You know, in the book of Acts later, Peter's going to say the Gentiles came to the Lord because of the preaching of the gospel.
Right.
He wasn't expecting this.
Right.
I mean, Samaritans and Greeks and all these other people. And no one is outside of salvation.
All the ites.
And Cornelius says to Peter, hey, we're all waiting to hear this word you got. We're all been like, can't wait for you to get here. So hurry up and start talking. I hope you got your notes. Do you have a PowerPoint? Are we ready to go? Peter said, I don't have a PowerPoint. I don't have any notes. But, you know, Peter is.
I'm going to wing it.
Peter is the messenger.
Yeah.
So everybody in Cornelius' house knows that this is going to be a really important thing that Peter's going to say.
Yeah. The first charismatic prayer group.
Yeah.
So. They are all gathered together. Do you want me to finish? Do you want me to read some more?
Yeah, read a little more.
So they're all gathered together, and then they're all in the presence of God to listen to all that Peter has to say. So then Peter proceeded to speak and said, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites, as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man, God, raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead.
Mm.
He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name.
Whoa.
Wow.
Here's our friend Peter, and what he's doing here.
He did that with no notes?
No notes.
Wow.
And this is what you see is, this is preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Under the anointing, yes.
This is not Peter saying, okay, let me think about this a minute, what I should say. Maybe I should cover this and cover that. This is an anointed preaching. The Spirit's coming down on him, and he's talking. Remember, Jesus told those guys, when the Spirit comes, you know, he's going to do this. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to instruct you in all truth.
Yep.
And so Peter opens his mouth. All he does is open his mouth and start talking.
Yeah.
He's got no scrolls. He doesn't have a King James Bible in his bag, or he doesn't have any commentaries with him.
No iPad?
No iPad. He just starts talking. And he proclaims the truth to the Gentiles. Now, before this, Jesus had told them, I don't want you like walking around Samaria talking to anybody. I made this one exception, you know, talking to the woman at the well. But, you know, you guys, you're going to just stay with the lost sheep of the house of Israel because that's why I'm here. But then he gave them the Great Commission. They're going to go to all the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is proclaiming truth to the Gentiles. Because now the division's broken down.
Yeah.
The Gentiles that are in this room are dying to hear what Peter has to say. Mm-hmm. They think, wow, this guy can really preach it.
Yeah.
And if you read that, it doesn't sound exactly like Pentecost morning, but it's kind of similar, the same points that he preached Pentecost morning, mm-hmm. which was all to the Jews. I mean, all the people who heard him Pentecost morning were Jews.
Yeah.
Now the people hearing him are Gentiles.
Yeah.
This is a huge turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, Jesus came to Israel. The word was proclaimed. He died. He rose. We're all witnesses of this.
Yeah.
We saw this happen. Now, you guys may have heard about it. Everybody, you know, kind of heard about something. Cornelius, as a Roman officer, might have heard something about it.
Mm-hmm.
After all, there were plenty of soldiers there at the crucifixion.
Yep.
And he says, you guys may have heard about this, but we experienced it. We are witnesses of this.
Yeah.
And after he rose, he's not only is he Messiah, but he's going to judge the living and the dead. And Mars and Venus and Jupiter and all these other gods you guys have, they're not going to be judging the living and the dead.
Right.
Jesus is going to be judging the living and the dead. We saw all this happen, and all of our prophets, now we don't know if Cornelius and his household, how much of the Jewish scripture they knew. I mean, presumably they had read some, but Peter says all our prophets talked about this.
Yeah.
He could have said all of this was foreshadowed in our Torah. You guys may or may not know about that, but let me tell you, we knew this was going to happen. And if you believe this, there's remission of sin.
Yeah.
So listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah. And, you know, he also tells them that what happened over all of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, because mm-hmm. John went forth, John was the forerunner. He prepared mm-hmm. the way for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He baptizes, his baptism was for repentance.
Yeah.
And to make a people not worthy, but prepared to receive the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power mm-hmm. at his baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He told them that Pentecost morning.
Very
important.
He said,
this Jesus that you crucified.
Right.
He's Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And they were all cut to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So now he says basically the same thing to these Gentiles.
Right.
And so, they're cut to the heart.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. And so, you know, then he says, you know, he commissioned us to mm-hmm. preach to the people and to testify that he is the one. He's the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But you get to the essential message of the gospel.
Yeah.
That whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will receive forgiveness of their sins in his name, in the mm-hmm. name of Jesus.
Amen.
And what did Jesus say? Go forth and preach that there's forgiveness of sins in my name.
Yes.
The essential message, or the essential mandate that they were given to do,
mm-hmm.
and that we're still given to do.
Mm-hmm. This is the gospel.
Because that is the good news.
Yes.
I mean, what better news is there that, hey, you know what? You were dead in your sins, but now because of what Christ did on the cross, your sins are forgiven. You believe in him, your sins are forgiven, and you're washed clean, and you're made a new creation.
There is no better news.
There is none.
No.
Because you're set free from the bondage. You're set free from the punishment. You're set free from the sentence of death.
Yeah. And I think that this was the news. This was what the angel told Cornelius that they had to hear, and they had to hear it from Peter. This is the key.
Yeah.
It said that Cornelius and the other people and his family, they worshiped God, they were compassionate, they were charitable, they did good works, they gave alms, they prayed. They did a lot of really good things, but they had to understand that Jesus was the Messiah and that their sins could be forgiven only if they believed in what he did. This was the new covenant.
Yeah.
This is, as you say, this was the good news.
Yeah.
And this is what is now the result of the law, the prophets, everything that went before.
Yep.
Because now Messiah has given his life for the Gentiles as well.
Yeah.
And instead of just doing, for example, Cornelius could have gone and learned all the law, and he could have followed the dietary law, and he could have worn the things, and he could have done all the, but no, not necessary. He says, all you have to do is you have to believe this, and your sins will be forgiven.
And then something awesome really happens.
Yeah, well, something awesome really happens. Go ahead.
Do we want to get to that?
Yeah.
So, and this is Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 44. So Peter tells him, I'll go to 43. To him all the prophets bear witness, referring to Jesus, that everyone who believes in Jesus will receive forgiveness of sins through the name of Jesus. And while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded, astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Wow. Then Peter responds and says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have? Question mark.
Even as we have.
Even as we have? Can you withhold the water of baptism of the Holy Spirit from these people just like we have received it?
Yeah.
He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for a few days.
Wow. Yeah, they didn't want the home group to end.
No.
Because
they turned it into a retreat.
Yeah, when the Holy Spirit falls on your home group.
Yeah, you don't want to leave.
Pretty exciting. They want to leave. Man. I mean, this is amazing. Everyone who heard this word, and, you know, on Pentecost morning, the Spirit comes suddenly, like a driving wind. You know, there's emphasis on the word suddenly.
Yeah.
So here it says, while Peter was still talking.
Yeah.
It's not like Peter didn't stop talking and say, okay, now let's see if the Holy Spirit's going to do anything. The Holy Spirit came rushing into the place while Peter was still talking.
I mean, this is a prime example if you're preaching and you're preaching the truth. And you're preaching the word that God wants you to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And not your own message, but the being a messenger, you know, an advocate an ambassador is what I'm looking for. That we're preaching the message that God wants us to preach. God will send the Holy Spirit and baptize the people right then and there. He doesn't have to wait for you to finish.
That's right.
Because you're speaking the truth and they're ready for it. And he just, you know.
He doesn't have to wait for a special prayer.
Okay, now
a special time of day.
Right. Now, after we finish the talk, we're going to have some, you know, small group study, and then we'll pray for something. You know, then we'll pray for none of that happened.
Yes.
Not that that's a bad thing. But
he's preaching Jesus as Messiah.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah.
And this is the key.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it's awesome. This is the key. And it's interesting too that here's these uncircumcised people, not covenant people, that are now in the new covenant.
Yeah.
And here's Peter and the circumcised believers, as the passage calls them, who are covenant people. Now they're in the new covenant.
Yeah.
So now you got this Jew and Gentile group both in the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole place went crazy. They spoke in tongues. They glorified God. The Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles.
Yeah.
So the circumcised believers, they were still like a little confused.
Well, yeah, because they were there that Pentecost morning. They would have seen the Holy Spirit poured out upon them in full measure.
Sure.
And now they're seeing the same thing on the Gentiles. And they're like.
Yeah, but to them, the Pentecost thing made sense because they were all Jews.
Right.
They go, well, the Holy Spirit's for us. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit's being poured out on Gentiles?
Yeah.
What is this world coming to? Ooh, it's another Paul Wilbur song. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound. Has to leave.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Ooh.
Woof.
That was awesome. That's an awesome
song.
That's
an awesome song. There's three people in it, but I don't remember the other guy.
Yeah.
Sharon Wilbur and Paul Wilbur, and I don't remember the guy.
And,
but anyway.
Another guy.
But it's pretty, and the other guy. That's pretty awesome. And anyway. I heard that they used that song in that AD series that was on one of the, I don't remember what network it was on, because I haven't seen any of it. I never get to watch any TV. But
okay. I think it's on NBC.
Yeah. But they used that song during the part of that series, I heard, because Paul Wilbur told me they were going to. But
awesome.
Yeah, I don't have proof of that.
His version of it?
That same song we just heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Holy Spirit falls on the whole group. The circumcised believers say, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Yeah.
These guys aren't even circumcised and, you know, what's going on here? And I think that, one important thing to note, an important lesson from this is that the Italians were the second people to get the Holy Spirit.
Wasn't the last prophet Malachi?
I think that's a very important lesson.
Oh, no, that was Malachi, not Malachi.
Never mind. No. Never mind. He was the last Italian prophet. Anyway,
are you boasting? So
when Peter gets what's going on, now he had just said he sees that God shows no partiality.
Yeah.
Now he says, hey, is there any reason these people shouldn't be baptized? You know, I mean, can you guys think of a reason why they shouldn't be baptized? I mean, come on. They're believe in Jesus as Messiah.
Yeah.
They know their sins can be forgiven by the blood. the Holy Spirit's just fallen on him. I say, we baptize them.
they're being baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And now they're going to get water baptism.
Yeah.
And interestingly, of course, that fulfills part of the Great Commission because they're going to make disciples and baptize them.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen. And so here they are. So this turns into quite a home group. You got Gentiles, you got a great teaching by Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit falls on everybody there, and then the guys get baptized.
Did they write Corinthians right after this? Oh, no.
I know.
Or Ephesians. Ephesians.
You know, Peter probably said, geez, too bad Paul's in here because he just got converted a chapter ago. But but this is pretty cool because you have here all the evidence that we're in a new situation now.
Yeah.
We're in a new world. We're in a new phase of salvation history, mm-hmm. which is going to lead to, you know, the Gentile age, you know, as it says, it's going to be, you know, until the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled, whatever that means, you know, then Israel will be saved.
Right.
So we don't know if that's going to be, we don't know when the time of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled, but could be any time now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that covenant people, non-covenant people are together. They're praying together, worshiping together. Holy Spirit falls on all of them. The covenant people say, wow, even the uncovenant people get this. And Peter says, hey, let's baptize them.
Yeah. And the great thing is now they're all in the new covenant.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's something that we need to, as believers, though anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah,
amen.
needs to really understand and recognize that the new covenant is a new and eternal covenant that was ratified by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there in the old covenant, mm-hmm. but it is the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jesus himself says, I'm going to establish a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And then that his very body and blood is going to be shed for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just awesome that as Peter sees this, you know, he's like, okay, why should we withhold the water of baptism from these people?
Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah. This isn't going to be like a mikvah. This is going to be like real baptism now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is the dawn of what we would call Christian baptism,
mm-hmm.
because they've already been baptized in the Spirit. Now they get the water baptism.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in John chapter 3, everybody likes to quote about, you know, if you're not born again and so forth. But then Jesus says you have to be born of water and of Spirit.
And of Spirit, yeah.
And so these guys were born of water and of Spirit.
And what's interesting is, you know, my wife was not water baptized mm-hmm. before she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Like these guys.
Like these guys. You know, so it is very scriptural what happened. And at first we didn't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, and as we learn things, you know, you see Acts chapter 10 and go, okay, God can baptize whom he wants, when he wants, mm-hmm. where he wills.
Yeah.
And the water baptism can come after it. But in the church, in the community of believers, this generally happens all together.
Mm-hmm.
But in some churches it's been separated out. Sad to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we've lost the dynamic and the power of what the Holy Spirit is really for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thus you see churches that are floundering, churches that are dwindling, churches that are closing, pastors that are floundering. And, you know, if you want to see your church grow, God has to build the house.
Amen. But they labor in vain who build it.
Right. But we have to be willing to speak the truth, and that is that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
That's right. And this is the model for us. This is the model for evangelization. It's really the model for all ministry.
Right.
You speak about the sacrifice of Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes.
Right.
You have to be open to the Spirit. If you think, well, the Holy Spirit only worked until about, you know, 90 AD, then after that he stopped.
Took a vacation.
That doesn't have to do anything anymore. You know, that's.
Yeah. How did the church continue for 2,000 years?
That's right.
You know?
And this is, I think, a perfect example of what you just said. And if you stick, I hate to use a secular term like stick to the basics, but you know, if you get back to that kerygma of this is the message of salvation, This is how sins are atoned. This is how you're brought into a kingdom, into the kingdom. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit falls on you and fills you and empowers you to do more ministry.
It's a free gift that you just received.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Can't believe the show's over.
I know.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that if you, you know, we would pray that those who are listening, that you would understand and know that there are forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon us and direct our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds, and lead us and guide us in all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.